Like to bring this meeting, regular trustee meeting of June 10th for Genoa Township to order. I'd like, actually, Officer Rockefeller to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, to begin the meeting tonight, Carl will not be at the beginning of this meeting. He should be here later, though. Let's go ahead and let's start with fiscal officer report.
This evening I have the May financials for 2015. We have a combined balance of $13,627,389.62, of which $10,980,626.79 sits in our investments. And roughly, I think it's like $2,633,452.90 in our regular checking accounts. And all balances are reconciled. I'll have this in the office for you guys to sign at the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
I also have four sets of meeting minutes for you guys to approve this evening. We have May 21st regular trustee meeting, special trustee zoning meeting, and special trustee meeting, and the May 30th special trustee meeting. There's an error on there. It says regular, but it's special.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd like to offer up a motion to approve the following trustee meeting minutes. May 21st, 2015, regular trustee meeting. May 21st, 2015, special trustee zoning meeting. May 21st, 2015, special trustee meeting. May 30th, 2015, regular trustee meeting.
That was special.
Oh, excuse me. May 30th, 2015 was a special trustee meeting. Excuse me.
And I'll second that motion. You want to call the roll, please?
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Grafania.
Aye.
Okay.
Final item we have are second half property taxes for 2014 are due July the 10th. Total amount $4,095.
Mr. Chairman, I'll motion to approve a purchase order to the Delaware County Treasurer in the amount of $4,095 for the 2014 second half property taxes.
And I'll second that motion.
One item of discussion. Yes, I mean, normally we get relief of property taxes, but these are for properties that there's some kind of a use going on there.
Yeah, there are
non-public use.
Our right-of-ways, I believe. Is that what they're called? Is that what Paul calls them? The right-of-ways. Now, we do have the new property that we purchased on Sunbury. We are applying for our tax exemption.
Okay.
That will come. It'll probably take almost a year for us to get that. So okay. We will have to pay the taxes up front, and then we'll get a credit on our disbursements. From the other side.
It's always the immediate question is, how is a government paying taxes to another government?
Yeah.
It's got to be some sort of a...
Yeah. So the majority of them are smaller. Mm-hmm. When you look at the... The breakdown I gave you guys, you have $19, $96, $93, $764, but I see what you're saying. Why does it come
up? It's just a principle of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
$4,000 is $4,000.
Yeah. The property that was just acquired, that should be a prorated real estate tax anyway, correct? We would have received credit. When do we actually receive the credit on that?
Well, this is for, we acquired that in January.
Of this year. Yes.
Yeah. So.
So we.
That would work. Because she would have paid. I'm gonna have to check on that one.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to check on the Sunbury property.
All right.
And just double check on that one.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're not paying the tax for the period, which would have been previous ownership.
Yeah, because you're right, because these are for the second half of 2014.
14, right.
Yeah, so I'll double check with them on that property.
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's it? Okay.
Roll call. Mr. Lohm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
And that's all for fiscal this evening.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and go to police. I believe we have a motion this evening. Let's go right to that.
Good evening. First thing I have is a request for a promotion tonight. Very happy occasion. Requesting Officer Eric Rockefeller be promoted to police sergeant. Eric's been with the department for about 11 years. Does an excellent job. He will become the third shift sergeant on patrol.
Very good. Very good.
I'll offer the motion then. I'd be very happy to motion to promote Officer Eric Rockefeller to the position of sergeant with the Genoa Township Police Department. That would be effective. What would
June 7th.
Effective June.
This previous Sunday.
Sunday.
Yes. Okay. Retroactive to June 7th, 2015.
And I will second that motion, certainly. Discussion. First of all, it's good to see internal promotions coming from the department. We know how difficult it is to hire, but to see officers progressing through advanced skills to end up taking these positions is good to see. So congratulations on that, certainly.
And appreciate the show's support, too, by the men and women of the Genoa PD. So thanks for being here.
Roll call, Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
We need to give the oath.
Yeah, give the oath.
You got it. Okay.
As you're coming up, do you want to introduce any family members that you have with you?
I do.
Hey, Dan.
My wife, Christina, is right there. My daughter, Ava, next to her. And my soup stain on her pretty white dress.
Great, thanks for being here. Okay, if you would please raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Eric Rockefeller.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Ohio.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Ohio.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of police sergeant.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of police sergeant.
In Genoa Township, Delaware County.
In Genoa Township, Delaware County.
State of Ohio.
State of Ohio.
During my continuance in office.
During my continuance in office.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time we will do the badge pinning ceremony. Who would you like to come up and pin your badge on you?
If you don't finish out in front of the staff.
Congratulations. Very
Thank
good.
You.
Very good.
And I know you're going to have some cake back at the station. Is that correct? So we'll let you, everybody adjourn back to the station for cake, and I'll carry on with the regular business.
You guys keep cool and stay safe. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
The next item I have is a request for a sick leave transfer for our new officer, Emily Brees, transferring 160 hours of sick leave from her previous employment at Columbus State.
Mr. Chairman, I will offer a motion to accept 160 hours of sick leave for police officer Emily Brees from Columbus State Community College.
I'll second that motion. We typically accept all the hours of credit for sick leave transfers.
Typically. I mean, unless there's some sort of a compelling reason or...
Okay. Very good.
We'll call Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfone.
Aye.
Very good.
Next, I have a request for a purchase order for National Night Out of amount of $2,000 for food, entertainment, and the necessities to run the event, and that's on Tuesday, August 4th.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to offer a blanket purchase order in the amount of $2,000 for the National Night Out.
I'll second that motion. Discussion?
It's always on a Tuesday, typically, right, Chief?
Yes. First Tuesday in August.
Yeah. First Tuesday in August. Tuesday, August 4th. What time will that be?
5 or 6 on till 8 or 9.
Okay. And it will again be at McNamara?
Yes.
Park.
Okay.
And similar activities that
Correct.
We've had in the past, right?
Yes. No rain.
Okay.
That's right.
Good. Any discussion, additional discussion?
No, I'm good. It's always a great event, and we have a lot we have a lot of township residents that volunteer their time and talent and donate an assortment of food and skills, so it's really nice. It's a really nice community event, and I'm very grateful for you guys for organizing it. So.
Yeah, we really look forward to it.
Yeah, great PR too. Thanks. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfone.
Aye.
The only other thing I want to mention, you may have seen in the news last Thursday, we partnered with Home Depot to do some landscaping and clean up around a disabled Marine Vietnam veteran who lives just right down the street, 7300 Big Walnut. Several of our officers and their family volunteered their time off duty. Home Depot chipped in all the materials. It was the first time we've done that. It went off really well. I know the veteran and his wife were both very surprised and pleased, and we're always looking for more opportunities to do that. So
that was really, really good to see. I mean, it was a lot of good media exposure over that event, but just to be able to take care of a veteran like that was
absolutely
really touching. So
they didn't get the thanks when they came back, so we try to give a little bit of that now.
And appreciation to those officers that came in on their day off to do that. I think Sergeant Fry had a lead role with this, didn't he?
Yes, because he's a Marine, so
right.
He's a Marine in need. He's there, so
right.
We do have a couple officers nursing some poison ivy, but nothing too serious. And that's all I have. Unless
Very
you have
good.
Anything for me.
I don't think so. I mean, any of you guys seeing any activity, anything that we need to be vigilant about as residents?
The usual things. We just posted on Facebook. We had a car broken into over at Highland Lakes. Purse was stolen. Credit card was used very shortly thereafter. So it's those kind of things. Had an incident a couple weeks ago where there was posted this on Facebook. A guy walking down, got a call on a suspicious person on the bike path, a guy carrying a rifle. Sergeant McMillan arrived. Briefly talked to the gentleman. It's legal to openly carry a rifle. We're not allowed to detain them. There's some real strict limits on what we can and can't do, so we let them go. A few minutes later, we got a call. There was a burglary at a house on Worthington Road where a rifle was stolen. So he went back to the bike path, located the guy who he knew this individual from prior contacts, discovered that he had thrown the rifle into the woods, so got the rifle, got the subject, and charged him with burglary. Kind of unusual case, but I know that did when I posted on Facebook, there was a lot of discussion back and forth on you shouldn't be allowed to legally carry firearms. Well, you are, and we have to respect everybody's rights. So the officers are trained, and just did some more training last week. Andy King from the prosecutor's office came and did some ethics training, law training, talked about the open carry issues and some recent court rulings.
That was good diligence in just checking out the situation,
yep.
And fortunately to end up catching a different criminal activity that
right.
happened to be related. Very good.
Yep.
Well, and
Very
it
good.
Goes back to the whole idea of having community-based policing here. That
Absolutely.
You can call a local police department, and they can put two and two together like that.
Yeah, we're fine.
And go out and apprehend someone.
Citizen's concerned seeing someone carrying a rifle. They probably didn't know that it's legal, but that's fine. Call, we go check it out. And if there's nothing improper, we'll move on. As it turned out later, there was something. So
it's a good response.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like seeing a lot of that activity on Facebook with the photos. I've seen officers stopping at lemonade stands, and I mean, I know they're already out in the area, and they're on their bikes at times, and it's good to see them out in the neighborhoods like that. So I know the residents appreciate that as well.
Absolutely.
So.
Have they been doing much bike touring right yet?
Not lately with the staffing, and again, Sergeant Rockefeller is one of our bike officers. Now he's going to third shift, so he won't be riding as much on third shift. Yeah. So we want to get, as we get, the officers going through the summer, get some more people trained to get out there on the bikes. Because I definitely want to get that.
Yeah, it's so much closer to residents.
Absolutely.
And what's going on.
Absolutely.
And much more visible, too.
And if staffing allows, we'd like to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and with all, frankly, with all the negativity and in the press these days regarding law enforcement, I think it's really good to have that kind of positive presence out in the community.
Yeah.
Again,
absolutely.
Kids, law enforcement is a noble profession, and I think it bodes well for our kids to see officers in the community, and they're able to go up and build a rapport, and ask questions, and it's not
right in a non-confrontational setting.
Well,
we're not busy.
Well, but kids aren't being raised to fear the police.
Exactly.
I guess they're able to go up and ask questions. And,
yeah. And we're going to be doing another coffee with a cop June 20th at Starbucks again, and I'll post something on that next week.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that personal connection that I think would solve a lot of the tension issues that are around. And
We're fortunate with the great community support we have here that we know we have the backing in the community.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Very good.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks. Maintenance, next on the list.
First item is OPWC contract. We're applying for a grant from OPWC for Medallion Drive West in 2016.
Mr. Chairman, I'll motion to approve the 2016 Ohio Public Works Commission grant application.
And I'll second that motion.
Roll call, Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Next.
I'm sorry, Bob, real quick, where would we hope if we were to obtain the grant, what are we targeting?
Medallion West.
Medallion West. Okay.
All of Medallion West.
The whole length?
Yeah, whole length.
Okay, that's a fairly lengthy.
Yeah, it's about 2 miles long.
Yeah. Okay.
Next is the paving contract revised from the last meeting. Just need approval of that.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to approve a purchase order to Shelley and Sands, Inc. in the amount of $126,000 for the 2015 Delaware County Road Improvement Program.
I'll second that motion. Let's see, discussion. That's related to the contract in our packet.
Correct.
Okay. For the $125,962.
We had backed out Hillmar and
Freeman.
Freeman. Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I mean, we are still repaving a number of roads through
yes.
this.
Yes.
But we also have to repair a lot
repair
of roads.
Repair a lot of roads.
So, it's not a matter of we're purposefully trying to neglect maintaining
right.
these roads, but we have a lot of repair work to do because of the winter damage.
Correct.
Priorities have changed.
Yep.
Paul, do we have to have a unanimous vote for road improvements?
You gotta have what?
Do we have to have all three of them vote for road improvement for the project?
I don't think so. I think two.
Okay.
But they all got to sign the contract.
Yeah, okay, even though across one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can at least vote and if we have to come back and
do it again.
We can do it again. We can withdraw it later.
Okay.
Might as well get it underway.
Okay.
I know purchase of property requires unanimous vote of the board. I'm not quite sure what other items. That was the only one that I was immediately aware of that requires a unanimous vote.
Okay.
All right. Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye.
Next is a requisition for David William and Associates. This is for the slide that damaged at McNamara Park that is no longer made by that company. And this is the only option we have except for buying a totally new toy. It costs $34,000. This is kind of a retrofit item.
Cost 34, it says 3,500 here.
Yeah, okay. This is what we're going to do.
Okay,
instead
so we're
of buying a whole new playground equipment for 34,000.
Okay, because I thought, because when we last spoke, I thought that wasn't an option, but now you're saying that we can just do this.
They found something that I could fix, fix it with only going a cheap way.
What is the condition of the rest of the play structure?
The rest of it's in good shape.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay, I mean, it's nice to save money, but if you got to replace this whole thing in 2 years anyways.
No, it should last another 5-10 years.
Okay, well that's great news. What about the we had discussion about the monkey bars, that there was some sort of a liability with those. That was Freeman Road, I'm sorry.
Yep.
But this is McNamara.
This is McNamara.
Okay, I'm getting them mixed up then.
Somebody took a knife and cut the slide with a knife, and it's got a hole in it, and it's jagging, kissing kids on it.
What's it going to take to actually retrofit this? This 3,500?
It's a slide, but okay. It's a slide that we can bolt up to the pattern that's on there.
Okay. So it doesn't take any modification of the existing?
No, just the bolt pattern we're changing.
You can fix that. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you researched that. Thank you.
Yeah. Save a lot of money.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to approve a purchase order to David Williams and Associates in the amount of $3,509.91 for playground equipment.
And I'll second that motion. Any additional discussion?
No, it's just it's a shame that we have vandalism in these parks.
Yeah.
You try to have nice things, nice amenities for the community, and
it costs us money to fix them when they tear them up.
That's right. So,
but what can we do? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye.
Next is a requisition to American Road Salt Company for the summer fill through ODOT that we joined. And is for $44,946. That's for 600 tons road salt. We had to purchase it before the winter contract comes out.
So, I'm sorry. Do we already have the salt?
No.
We're purchasing this for next winter?
Yes.
We're getting are we getting a discount by doing this? By
we're
buying it early?
We're only going to pay $75.91 a ton. We paid $112 a ton last year.
Okay.
So it's similar to summer propane fill or anything where it's the off season, so we can get a much better price.
Yep.
600 tons.
Well, we know we'll use it.
Yeah, $35 a ton, that's a 1/3 savings. You're talking $15,000 or $20,000 here. So
is that the maximum we can hold at this time?
That's the maximum we can buy off this contract.
Okay.
Related to that, I know there was a settlement with the two salt providers that the state of Ohio had, where they were.
You're right, Cargill and Morton.
Do we know if we're going to
have checked that? We did purchase from Cargill one of them years, but we were not gouged like the other ones that got gouged. We only paid 47 something a ton, and them company, the municipalities that got gouged paid $150 a ton. So I don't think we're going to be entitled to any of that money.
Okay.
Well, glad you looked into it.
But we're still going to pursue it. We're going to still file a claim, but from what I'm hearing, we're not going to be eligible for anything.
Okay. Well, appears like we were on top of it at the time and getting the right price to begin with. So it makes sense that we wouldn't necessarily have a chance to get a piece of that settlement fund. But
thanks for asking about that, Leo, because I had read about it at the time. I was like, oh, gosh, I've got to remember to ask it.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah.
So good catch.
So. Okay.
All right. Well, I will motion to approve a purchase order to American Road Salt LLC in the amount of $44,946 for road salt.
I'll second that motion. Any additional discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye.
And the next one is a blanket requisition for road resurfacing prep work that the we're going to do in front of the resurfacing contract. Plus some two other streets that have fell apart that we got to do some with before winter to make them passable this winter.
Right. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $185,000 for the road resurfacing prep work.
I'll second that motion. Additional discussion.
These are our road levy tax dollars at work.
Yep.
It's pretty normal business here. I mean, unfortunately, we have to repair roads. I mean, we like to repave them so we don't have to repair them, but the ones that are broken, we got to fix those.
Yeah, so. And they're bad enough to need fixed.
That's it.
Just a quick explanation as to why you guys have five blanket purchase orders. Mm-hmm. Bob needs a purchase to stay vendor neutral, and he has five different account numbers. So a blanket purchase order is specific to one account number, so that's why I have to have
five separate
that you'll need to approve this evening.
Okay.
Well, accordingly, I'll just go down the list here.
Yeah.
So I motion then. I motion. Well, we got to take the
roll call. Mr. Carfagno.
Yeah. Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $5,000 for road resurfacing prep work.
I'll second that motion. Additional discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye. Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $15,000 for road resurfacing prep work.
I'll second that. Additional discussion.
Aye. Mr. Carfagno.
Aye. Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $10,000 for road resurfacing prep work.
I'll second that motion. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye. Sorry. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $40,000 for road resurfacing prep work.
And seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye.
And the last item is some maintenance updates. Freeman Road is all complete basketball court. ADA places on the old basketball court. All the trees are in. And our playground, new playground equipment came in yesterday. We will be installing that within the next week and a half.
Great.
And that will be all completed. Next would be Maxtown, where I'm waiting for the gas company to extend the gas main to some house that wants gas down there. So instead of put the walk path in before they come in and tear it out, I'm waiting for them to come in and put it in before we pave it so the asphalt don't get tore up.
Okay. Any idea how long before they get
there? They're down there working on it starting today.
Okay.
They said it should take them a week. So.
What are you guessing in terms of if you have to put a ballpark timetable on Maxtown being completely finished?
It depends on when I get the easement for the church.
Okay.
As soon as I get that, we're probably 2 weeks left installing pipe plus the pavement.
Okay.
The bridge is all built now. Mm-hmm. And all I'm waiting for is the gas company and the easement from the church.
Okay.
Do you know where the easement process is right now?
We got EHMT out surveying it to get the legal documentation.
Okay. And I understand from talking to Paul Wise, I think Heritage has been very cooperative with their fair share contribution.
Very,
so.
Yes.
Good.
Back on Freeman, just a comment. I was by there just yesterday and saw the trees in and some of the other things, and it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be nice once the playground equipment is there.
I got to take a closer better. Look. I didn't see the trees because I was driving, but I did see the basketball hoops are finally up. So yeah. that's really good to see. And I think the old courts, once they're modified to become those picnic areas, I think it's going to be a really nice amenity that was pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Overall.
Part of the reason I brought that up was it's something that you guys did in maintenance to bring a park up to what's turning out to be a pretty nice park once that gets completed.
Yeah.
And a good savings to the township too.
About a week and a half is what we got left over there.
Well, and it frees you guys up to put all your attention on other things too.
Yeah. So. Good. And next update is we're still working on the pipe on Ruckmore that they came in a couple of meetings ago.
Yes.
I'm still getting the estimate together. I'll have that for the July meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
And the skid steer we bought in 2004 is down in Southeastern. I think it's going to cost about $11,000 to repair.
What is this again? I'm sorry.
The skid steer.
Skid steer. What?
It's a Bobcat.
The Bobcat. Okay.
You might know by Bobcat.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
And I'm just waiting to get final number and then see whether we might be able to purchase a new one on the lease program or one. I have a problem putting that much in one that's 11 years old right now.
Where was it on our replacement schedule?
It had to make four more years. We're supposed to replace it at 15, and it's 11 years old right now.
What's that thing worth?
They usually, new ones run about $40,000, $50,000 at the most. And you probably get $10,000 on trade-in out of it.
As it sits
there broke.
So, I mean, is it completely out of commission right now?
Yeah, it is right now. The drivetrain is busted, and the part alone is almost $9,000 just for the part. They're checking to see if they can get a used one or a remanufactured one, but I don't have that information, so I'll have it by July. Just wanted the board.
It just seems like a lot of money to put into something that even fixed isn't going to be worth much more than that cost. Yeah.
What all do we use the Bobcat for?
It's used almost daily. That's why it's really gets used. Any road projects, it's used on pipe, it's used. It's used around the garage on stone and stuff floating. It's a well-used piece of equipment.
I mean, is it going to make sense? I mean, I don't know what a lease program would entail in terms of usage, but.
The one that I'm looking at, after you get the new one on the lease program, you don't have to pay the first year until the end of it. You pay a payment, and then they set it up on 3 or 4 years and pay so much a year. And then after the end of the contract, it becomes yours.
Like a rent-to-own.
Yeah, it is. It's like a rent-to-own. But I don't know what kind of money we're talking on the lease or nothing. So that's what I just bring
you. Yeah, if you can do the homework now, then we can, I guess, just compare, you know, look at them side by side to see what makes the most sense.
I'll have that next meeting for you.
Thank you.
That's all good. I got.
Okay, thanks.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Can we go back to public comment just in case?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Do we have anybody that would like to speak this evening just in public comment? Anybody at all? Okay, I guess that was.
And if they want to speak to specific issues, they can do that as we come up on them.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for reminding me. We got started off on the promotion, and
we always get twisted around.
Yeah. Okay. Fire.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Okay, so good evening. Chief Honeycutt is out of the state on vacation, so I'm filling in for him and going to give you the requested information on the tornado sirens. You should have some packets there in front of you.
Yes.
With a couple maps. If you go to the second page in that packet, is a map that has a tan portion on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And we'll start off there. What that map shows is at the top left-hand corner, you'll see a couple different black boxes with numbers in it. 2034, 2036, 2041.
Yes.
Okay. Those are Franklin County EMA-owned tornado sirens that actually project their siren into Genoa Township, where some residents that live on the far south end of the township may actually hear a tornado siren when those are activated by Franklin County.
Okay.
Okay. So that's important. In the next piece of the front copy map that you had, which is from a company called Federal Signal, who makes just about any warning device known to mankind.
Okay.
They also obviously do tornado sirens.
Okay.
And public alerting systems, stuff for fire trucks, et cetera. That is a propagation map that would show where they think, with what is existing in the township, what they forecast we would need in the township to get coverage with tornado sirens. And if you look at that map, you'll see that they would recommend the installation of 5 tornado sirens.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
Okay.
But this is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Do you have a question?
Just as a refresher, this is a modular type system. I mean, they're looking at putting 5 in, or am I getting ahead of ourselves?
No, you're right on. It's modular. Buy them one at a time if you so choose.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. Okay.
So the rest of the sirens that are in the county, however this evolved or happened, it is what it is, but are currently controlled by the city of Delaware.
All right.
Except for the siren that's in Galena, which is controlled by the BSTNG's Sunbury Fire Department.
So the ones that are in Sunbury, so Sunbury just put sirens in, we've been told. Those are, the city of Delaware put those in?
The city of Delaware, no.
No.
They activate them.
They activate them.
Ownership is by jurisdiction.
All right.
Okay. But you have to have some sort of a radio transmitting system to activate the sirens.
Okay.
Because it's not a hardwired system. It receives a radio signal and then activates. And
okay.
It goes off for a pre-programmed amount of time.
Okay.
So that is currently run through the city of Delaware. And Chief Honeycutt did speak with the police chief up in Delaware City, Chief Pijanowski, and said that we could join their system for free of charge. The only question that would be is that we'd have to make sure that the radio frequency system would reach down here in the Genoa Township to be able to activate all the sirens.
Okay.
From the city of Delaware.
From the city of Delaware.
Okay.
And they're probably on the main 911 tower, which is at the courthouse.
Is there a way to test the signal before we go any further?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What would be the alternatives if there is not a way to get that signal this far?
We would have to... There's probably a couple different options. I'm not an expert in the radio systems, but we do have a captain that is. Install something that would either amplify or boost the signal coming out of Delaware City, or something maybe even at our station, that if we could get the signal to the station, we could receive it, rebroadcast it at a much more powerful strength so that all the sirens would activate if we go down that road.
I mean, but the station is fairly, well, I don't know. I feel like if you can get it to the station, you can get it pretty much anywhere.
Depending on how,
well,
its
I guess
strength,
though. East
of
Hoover,
though. You start
though.
Getting
yeah.
over here,
yeah. Yeah,
you
East
might
Hoover.
Have a problem. That would probably be the concern, would be the eastern part. Now, understand that signal is operating the sirens in Sunbury. So that's a good indication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would, again, just have to test and see what the signal strength would be in the township at the various locations that they propose.
What would it take to do that test?
Probably, quite honestly, I'd probably have to talk with Captain Johnson. He's our radio guy. He'd have to talk with Delaware City, find out what frequency the system operates on, and then how would we go about testing for strength of signal. And we'd probably have to find out from Federal Signal what strength of signal does do they require at the siren
right.
to make positive activation?
Right.
So we'd have to find out those parameters before we could probably move forward.
Understood. Chief Ponzi, is there is that our only option? Is City of Delaware? I mean, what about Franklin County EMA? You said Franklin County EMA controls these three?
Correct. Which are in Franklin County.
Yeah.
Owned by Franklin. We didn't explore Franklin County EMA, mainly because, and I'm not sure exactly, but typically all these systems are non-geographic specific. In other words, when there is an alert in the county, all the sirens in that county go off. So if Grove City had the tornado alert, we'd be getting the sirens set off in Delaware County. Now, there's a trade-off to that, too. If there's a tornado alert in Westerville, Delaware County has to be cognizant in Westerville proper,
right.
south of Maxtown there. The county has to be cognizant that that threat is right across the border. But we could be subject to a lot more activations if we tied into the Franklin County system than if we were tied into the Delaware City system or Delaware County system.
Good point.
But if the Westerville signal occurred and that got relayed to Delaware, it would go through all of Delaware County then.
That's correct.
Because it's also
all tied together.
All tied together.
And that, you know, that's a, it's what you get with outdoor warning systems. It's a mass broadcast of information.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, for the most part, they typically don't geographically, alert one siren or five sirens. It's usually a large alert.
Yeah.
And my concern would be one area right next to the other getting a signal. You know, you'd have the three Franklin County controlled ones going off and the ones just to the north of that not if it's in our area, or the other way around, we get a lot of false alarms from Grove City or Groveport triggering
whatever
us for no reason.
For no reason.
Yeah. Well, we're already getting that now. I mean, the people that live in the south, I hear the sirens going off. So
yeah, okay. I surely hear it in mine.
Right. I mean,
so a couple other facts here for you. Chief Pijanowski at Delaware City did tell Chief Honeycutt that they are in discussion with trying to get Delaware County EMA to take over the activation of the sirens, one administration to another. Probably
okay.
No big change. So it may change in the future. Let's see. Again, to reiterate, the protocol is that if there's any sort of warning in the county, all the sirens get activated. Also, Federal Signal, who is the proposed vendor here that we got the propagation study from, is the same signal vendor. Wait, let me read this. Okay. The county system right now that is in place is Federal Signal.
Okay.
So, which is probably why Chief Honeycutt went to Federal Signal. So that those systems are compatible. The part that we would also have to look at is if this is further explored, we would have to, if another vendor was decided upon, we would have to check compatibility with this other system, or
right.
we'd be out of luck.
Right.
We do know that Federal Signal, tying into a Federal Signal program, is compatible. Okay? So further on in your packet of information, you'll find that there is a quote for $25,366.50 per siren.
Per siren. Okay.
That includes the pole or tower that they're going to mount it on and installation. That does not include any right-of-way cost, any maintenance cost, etc. Those are Federal Signal 128 decibel sirens per state bid pricing, which you have in your packet.
Right.
Okay, so that is, again, to make sure, per siren. Again, no right-of-way and no maintenance cost built into that. That's turnkey purchase. They come in and do it all for us.
Right.
But down the road, there's going to be maintenance.
Well, there is also an email here that says, this might be from a different vendor. Annual maintenance is $450 per siren. This is from a Wendy Justice with, it's Federal Signal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, battery replacement every 5 years for each one.
Right, and you're going to have to get some...
200, well, it's...
And you're going to have to get electric installed to each one of the sirens from AEP.
So the batteries, says four, at $200 each, replaced every 5 years. And then it says $160 per year per siren. I don't understand what that means.
It's four batteries per siren times 200, that's $800.
Oh.
Divided by 5 years. So they've kind of averaged out what the per year cost would be every fifth year.
Okay.
The federal signal, has it, there been any discussion or comments about the quality of the maintenance, quality of the system from Delaware City?
I can't attest to that. I wasn't in the room with the conversation between Chief Honeycutt and Chief Pijanowski. Quite honestly, as opposed to what you... Now, Franklin County system is a very large system.
Sure.
Probably, I think it's over 100 sirens, if not well over that. So every time they do some of their tests, you always hear on the news, such and such a siren didn't go off.
Yeah.
But that percentage, when you look at how many they have, is probably pretty low. We don't usually hear, but we're not kind of in this loop on these sirens. But I don't know of hearing in the past couple of years when we've had alerts that when they've activated the sirens in the county of, hey, X amount didn't go off. Not to say it didn't happen, but we just haven't heard that. I mean, we could surely look into that.
It'd be worth at least asking. We've got contacts, certainly, that they've talked to already to find out how satisfied they are with this particular system.
Okay.
Chief Ponzi, it's probably not a fair question to ask, but I'll ask it anyways. Are these sirens used, are activated for anything other than tornadoes? Or is it strictly just one trick pony, tornadoes, nothing else?
Quite honestly, a lot of the companies have gone away from the term tornado siren.
Okay.
And they say outdoor warning system. Because there are different types that have voice capability that... depending on your locality, again, this would be something that we'd have to look into. Try to envision, a tanker car spill on the freeway, and the people that in Sheffield Park need to evacuate.
Right.
Would we have the ability to act? And you look on the map, they recommend a siren in the Sheffield Park area, and we need those people that are outside to be warned. There are sirens out there that have voice capability.
If you will broadcast a message, is what you're
broadcasting
saying.
Message.
Okay.
The only thing is, if you've ever been around any of those, it's not like we're standing here talking now. It's not quite that clear. But they, if you're close enough, they do get the message across.
Yeah.
So there is some possibility of some other types. Depending on where you're at, some systems have... siren's on for a minute, and then it's off for 3 minutes means it's a tornado siren. A constant siren for X amount of minutes means something else. That would probably be something that is either...
But I would never know that. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine residents would know.
Correct. And
or even distinguish it.
Right.
Well, and then there's the education part that would go with it. Now, how would we disseminate that information to everyone?
So these ones that you guys have quoted out and we're looking at are just strictly the horn sirens. The old school?
To the best of my knowledge,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
No bells and whistles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, that's just a concern of mine, I guess, as we continue to explore this. It's I guess I view this as more of a complement to other things that are already in place that people should be taking advantage of, namely the code red. We get a lot of high wind alerts here. We've had the bad windstorms. There could be a boil advisory. There could be a thunderstorm watch. I mean, there's any number of weather-related events that people need to be made aware of that are frankly more likely to happen before a tornado. And the tornado sirens is not going to address those matters. So, does this fill a hole? Arguably, yes. I mean, If there's an event in the middle of the night, it's good to have those sirens, I guess, in place to wake you up. Or if you have your phone turned off and you're not monitoring those things, I guess it's good to have it. So But these are discussions we need to have, just whether it's practical to do something
like this.
It's
one of a one of multiple ways of making the public aware of a weather emergency.
I want to address vulnerability. Don't get me wrong. I want to make sure that, you know, if there's a public safety vulnerability, that we're, you know, taking a good look at it and trying to do what we can. But, you know, at the same time, you know, let's just put some thought into it and not just say, oh, well, we don't have sirens, we need sirens. You know, is sirens the most practical way to address this need?
Yeah, or can this be expanded to be more than just tornado siren? I mean, as a single event signal, it probably makes sense, but like you said, we've got a lot of other issues that could occur that we need to be able to maybe piggyback on this, if that's a possibility, to get more bang for the buck, so to speak, and cover more likely events.
Well, and the other part that may go with that, again, I wasn't in a lot of these conversations, but if you were to go to a different system, if you were looking at the voice system, that may completely change your propagation study.
Understood.
The amount of sirens needed. So kind of apples and oranges
right. When
we're talking about the two different systems here.
Right. Well, this is a good first step, first quote. You know, look at the equipment, look at the map, look at the range. So, and it doesn't really make sense to put sirens, I guess, in areas where you're already getting overlap from the south or from the north.
Right.
So we'll probably need to take a look at which areas, if we need to find money to even do this. But, you know, if we can secure funding, look at which sites make the most sense. And again, if we're going to do it, maybe start it off one or two at a time. Dip our toe in. It's a modular system. You know, it's not something we have to buy all of them on day one. You can kind of test the water a little bit, put one or two of them up, see how they work.
See how effective it is.
Exactly. And then, you know, from a funding perspective, you can also kind of accommodate that over time as well.
One other question. The site one that's on the federal signal map, that would be at the fire station, is that correct?
Actually, we're going to mount it on the police department's roof, just so it'll be a little quieter.
Close. Okay. Okay.
No. You know, that's
it would be somewhere, they would be somewhere on township-owned property.
And I'm glad you raised that, because we'd have to identify locations to even place these sirens.
Yeah, right.
Now, are they tested? I mean, Franklin County, they're tested, what, every Wednesday at noon, I feel like? They go off?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear them going
right
off.
Outside my office.
Would it be similar? Do we know when Delaware tests? Do they test them weekly?
I don't know.
We don't know that. Okay.
Well, yeah. You know, I hear those, but I don't hear the Sunbury ones. So I can't answer that question.
Well, but that's something that I think residents need to be prepared for. I mean, it's one thing for me in an office building in Columbus to hear them going off, but it's another thing if you're a resident and maybe you have an infant you're trying to put to sleep, and the siren comes blaring in at noon, and we'll certainly get calls from people in residential areas about the sounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll just need to be – we'll need to identify township land to put these on, lest we go to HOAs and ask them for easements, which, you know, if they want these sirens, I would hope they would cooperate with us. But
that's also the good news and the bad news about having them where the majority of the residents are. It's going to be literally right there in their backyard.
And it will be very loud.
Loud, yeah.
It will be very loud.
Because these are pretty large areas these are covering.
Yeah.
If you've ever been really close to one when one goes off, it's...
Yeah, there's one real close to the office I work in.
It's
really
loud.
Lunch.
Yeah. I mean, 128 decibel siren, like 110 decibels or 120 decibels is chainsaw.
In a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, again, that's just another consideration. So
okay. We'll
have to...
One more thing to add to the
one more
pile
thing to,
of information.
That's right. Well, this is good stuff. I mean, it's good to at least, you know, look at the range on these maps. You know, to start to get a feel strategically of where placement might make sense, you know, should we decide to move forward with it.
Okay. Anything further?
No. That's you covered it well, but thank you for bringing that all tonight.
And that's all we have.
Covering
good.
For Chief Honeycutt.
Okay.
All right. We will keep in touch. I'm sure we'll have individual questions that we may want you to research a little bit. So.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Okay. Administration.
I think the only thing we have should be in the packet.
Yeah. We have a donation to accept from the Friends of Genoa Township for their movie night donation of $375.
Very good.
Accept that donation.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to graciously accept the donation in the amount of $375 from the Friends of Genoa Township for our Township movie night.
I'll second that motion, certainly. It's a popular event in the Township, and it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Coming up. Second motion. Any additional?
I was just going to say, it's coming up, what's on the announcements. Coming up on June 20th, Saturday. So.
Roll call, Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye.
Okay, and to speaking of announcements, we're ready for announcements. At 7 o'clock this evening, we have a special trustee meeting on utility aggregation. It's about an hour from now. Again, movie night, June 20th at McNamara Park. I can never remember how to pronounce this movie. Okay, thank you. I know it's a Angelina Jolie movie of Sleeping Beauty's nemesis, so should be good for the kids as long as they don't get too scared in the dark as we're watching the movie. But it sounds like fun. We have a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting on June 23rd. The next Zoning Commission meeting is June 29th. And our next trustee meeting will be July 2nd here at 7 p.m.
Just one quick announcement on my part. On Monday, I and others from other local jurisdictions attended a work session of the Delaware County Commissioners. We had asked and received that we have a discussion about EMS in Delaware County. This has been an ongoing topic for many years now. You have a county EMS system. You also have a fire-based EMS system throughout many jurisdictions. There's got to be just a better way to coordinate these systems. There are areas of redundancy throughout the southern tier. So we've been really pressing the county to try to move forward on examining this a little bit further. I spoke, Trustee Rob Quigley spoke, there were from Orange Township, there were representatives from the City of Delaware, from Harlem Township also, from Liberty Township, those are the five. It's kind of our coalition of the southern tier that is pressing hardest on it. There were chiefs from around the state that were in attendance to speak on behalf of the county EMS system. You know, did we move the ball forward? I don't know that we did, but, you know, we kept the discussion alive, and I guess that's really all that we can hope for at this point. You know, I think Commissioner Lewis has been very passionate about this issue, and she really wants to move forward on this. Commissioner O'Brien feels the opposite way. He's complacent with the current system. Commissioner Merrill, I would categorize as somewhere in the middle. So we're going to continue to work on Commissioner Merrill. He has asked for, he would like to hear input from individuals. I guess that's how he phrased it. So we're going to be reiterating some of our points to him that we've already made. If there are residents who would like to speak directly with Commissioner Merrill, I would encourage them to do so. The way that it was left is I think they're going to pick up this discussion again at the end of July. And during that time, our coalition is going to be meeting again to come up with some, for lack of a better term, I think, commitments or assurances. There are communities to the north that are apprehensive about messing around with the system. We want to alleviate those concerns, so I think we're going to try to speak to that. That's really all I've got. I just wanted to say that we're, again, continuing to press the county. I think as long as we keep this public and keep it going, that, you know, maybe we can get some movement on it. But it takes two parties to dance here, and we got to get them on the floor. So, but that's all. I just wanted to report that.
Yeah, I mean, this was certainly a topic that came up during the recent levy campaigns.
Yes.
the efficient use of taxpayer money seems to need to drive this.
Yes.
And I appreciate your continuing to push and meet with these other jurisdictions, because this does need resolved. It needs to be.
And I'm glad you said something, because actually we did have a levy opponents. We did let them know that we've resumed these discussions, mm-hmm. and to their credit, they have said, you know, if they can be of assistance in this, they've offered opportunity. So, you know, we may take them up on it, because yes, they're very well, is a duplication of EMS services in Genoa Township, at least.
Right. At least in a small section of it. Yeah. Very good.
All right. But that's all I have.
Thank you. Okay. I guess.
Is there anything? I can offer up the motion at this time.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, at this time, I would like to make a motion to adjourn into executive session at 6:10 p.m. to consider the employment and compensation of public employees or officials.
And I'll second that motion. Roll call.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We'll be in executive session now.